Nice cough. Nice cough on the radio. We will be adding a cough button to Fiend Phone, though, eventually, so it's all good.
Is that a button that coughs when you press it?
Yes. This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at Pod Bay 2A at Intergalactic Prairie Studios, a mile above sea level. We alter your locus coeruleus by rejuvenating your brain waves with, you know, microwaves from transmitter towers that cook your brain to a toasty and tasty 325 degrees Fahrenheit. I am your host, Mr. Michael Dean. We have other hosts tonight. We have Mr. Lusander Fien in the failed state project of Detroit. Are you there, sir? Have you been contacted by the government?
I am here. I have not been contacted by the government, and I want a little bit of contact because tonight I'm going to be the mini statist.
Yeah, you're gonna put on your minarchist hat and pretend that you think government is the solution. This is going to be an interesting show, and I'm going to say every segment that's what we're doing, so people don't think that Lou's gone crazy. Kind of the way they felt that I'd gone crazy the other day when I put an old Fiends episode from 2 years ago or 3 years ago with Nima in the feed. Because I took the day off and people listened to it, not really knowing what it was. And all of a sudden their earbuds had Michael Dean saying, yeah, man, Stefan Molyneux is a really righteous guy. I really respect him and he's brilliant.
I have my mini status dunce cap on tonight.
Yeah.
Just preface everything with, I'm not a minarchist, but I play one on the radio.
That's Dobby Barker. Mr. Dobby Barker. Have you been contacted by the TSA today?
I have not been contacted by the TSA, but I did have another horrible day at the post office today. So
that we will have the part four in our 7,000 part series, Statism for Socialism for Packages, the U.S. Post Office. But I think we're going to start with, and this will be really interesting with Lou, you need a different name if you're a minarchist. How about Minarchist Mike? I'm Michael, but I'm not Mike. So Minarchist Mark, what do you want to be? What's your name tonight?
Limited Government Lou.
Limited Government Lou. Okay. And for short, since it's radio, LimGov Lou, in 1984 speak. So we are going to open the show with, we don't usually do the news of the day, but apparently Sarah Palin's, the chip in Sarah Palin's head that transmits what the man behind the screen says, her communications chip that connects to the Koch brothers behind the curtain or whatever, it failed and she went haywire. So we're going to play this 1 minute of wonderful audio. I don't think there's cussing. I don't think she'd ever cuss.
No, there's nothing. It's TV. No way.
Yeah, here we go.
Things must change for this cover. Our government, look at it.
Can afford all right, I'm starting
no
this over.
Retreads or nothing.
Yep, okay. So, it's a really quiet
video. Man, it was just getting good, though.
Yeah, well, I had the wrong audio input in. So, I couldn't pay the union wages for my home board op, so I had to lay him off. And I went to the Home Depot and hired one for $5 an hour, an out-of-work board op, because that's the way society and the radio industry is going. Because the government's clamping down on the small working businessmen and business owners. So here we go.
Must change. Things must change for this cover. Our government, look at it. It isn't too big to fail. It's too big to succeed. It's too big to succeed, so we can afford no retreads, or nothing will change.
Oh my
with
God.
The same people and same policies that got us into the status quo, another Latin word, status quo, and it stands for, man, the middle class, everyday Americans are really getting taken for a ride. That's status quo. And GOP leaders, by the way, the man can only ride you when your back is bent, so strengthen it. Then the man can't ride you. American won't be taken for a ride because so much is at stake. And we can't afford politicians playing games like nothing more is at stake than, oh, maybe just the next standing of theirs in the next election.
That's better than anything of Tina Fey on Saturday Night Live ever imitating Sarah Palin.
And it's not doctored. Those jumps, those pauses, those hiccups that make it sound like you put a piece of audio in a blender. That's really how she delivered it.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's still audio playing. All right, there we go.
I'm not sure that Tina Fey and Sarah Palin are two different people.
That's a theory I've heard before. So,
have you ever seen the two of them together?
Yes, on Saturday Night Live, but I think it was done with mirrors. So LimGov Lou. Tell me, what do you think of Sarah Palin these days? You're not. You're going to stick up for her, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Because she is the type of person that will bring our limited government back. All you have to do is vote harder for Sarah Palin in 2016.
Is she running?
And you can undo. I don't even care if she's running. You just have to vote for her because she is going to undo all the treachery that the GOP pulled in 2015 with putting Boehner and McConnell back in charge and what they did in, well, every other year. But she's the answer. Oh, and by the way, Davi, that post office that keeps touching you is in the Constitution. Just ask Lysander Spooner about
that. So are
the
roads. I mean, literally, they're in the same phrase. Postal roads, like that is declared by the Constitution as something the federal government should be involved with, is building postal roads. Yeah,
I mean, there you go.
I believe it says postal routes.
I think it says postal roads. Which, then I'm going to check you on that, Lou. And if you, if limited government Lou doesn't know exactly what's in the Constitution, I think we give him a go stand in the corner for 30 seconds.
Well, as one demerit, as a limited government constitution, I only focus on the first 10 amendments.
Well, that's pretty limited of your limited government. I also think that that if your timeout should be, you don't have to just go sit in the corner. You have to go sit in the corner and like listen to Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, for an hour or something.
Oh, don't throw me in the briar patch.
Please don't. That's funny, man. It says the postal clause. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 7 of the United States Constitution, known as the Postal Clause or the Postal Power, empowers Congress to, quote, establish post offices and post roads. Lou, I think you
you're both wrong.
To the briar patch with you, Lou. Mine was closer.
Now, does that mean post roads on Facebook?
Post roads. Isn't that the new Angry Birds plugin? Yeah.
Post roads and like roads and share roads.
Post roads as in after roads? Where we're going, we don't even need roads.
Yeah, I spent an hour, like 3 hours, in the past 2 days talking to Drew Phillips from the Winchester Mystery House of radio studios, known as Freedom's Phoenix Declare Your Independence Studios, and we were helping them reroute things. Basically, like that. He's got like all the equipment in the world, but he's also like running through three mixers, and he's got like a 1975 board that, you know, Brian Jones from the Rolling Stones probably did coke on at some point. I mean, he has a museum of
allegedly
of too much gear. He has it. Well, Brian Jones was dead by 1975. So yes, probably allegedly, but yeah, man, he has like a mystery house cluster. Ancient and modern equipment all ganged together, like way more stuff than he should have. But, you know, he feels comfortable in his little, like, he's like, I feel like I have the same power as the NSA because there's lots of wires around me. And, you know, Drew finally went through it all and figured out where things were plugged in wrong and actually got the real mix minus working. So Skype sounds better when they call it. We call in the Skype there now, and Fiend Phone will work there now. And I actually had a three-way call with Drew in the studio, me on Fiend Phone connected to Drew, and this guy Nick calling in, Nick Barnett calling in on Skype or like telephone. It was Skype on a cell phone, on a smartphone. And it was like night and friggin' day. It was like we sounded like we were in the same room talking, Drew and I.
Cool.
And the guy on the phone call sounded like over, you know, like phone sound. Like I've never heard Fiend Phone compared to phone.
Like Sarah Palin in Iowa?
Or it'd be like Sarah Palin today compared to like Sarah Palin 6 years ago when her chip was optimized and working well when she was, you know, trying to upstage McCain. And like, you know, I mean, I didn't agree with anything she said, but she was a decent public speaker to people who don't have a lot of education. But today I swear, like the chip in her brain malfunctioned. What was her excuse, Davi? She needs Fiend
Phone. The teleprompter wasn't working.
Wasn't she one of the main opponents of Obama using a teleprompter? Relying on one.
Yeah, I think she said something about it, like meaning that you were insincere or couldn't think on your feet, something to that effect.
Yeah, yeah.
Not what you want in a leader, I think was her point.
Yeah.
Well, I personally think she will make a great president because she hunts and fishes.
Well, and that's what counts. So I want to play this quick clip of Congressman Bookman, played by Queen Latifah on 30 Rock. I hope we have the cuss dump going. I don't think there's cussing in this, but this is supposed to be a Democrat congresswoman who's kind of like Sarah Palin in her, in a lot of ways, I would say, in her delivery. So let's check this out. Oh, what's wrong with you?
The future and America. Now, I may have lost my train of thought several minutes ago, but if I continue to talk like this, no one will notice. And when I stop, you will applaud my energy. Thank you. Thank
you. Thank you. That was the end of the speech. There was something in there where she said something about, and I love the flag, and I love the troops, and I love the flag troops. That was part of that rant. Yeah, man. Politicians. But anybody who believes a politician has their best interest in mind needs to have their chip and their brain adjusted, man. That should be something they offered Walmart for, you know, $69. Like, you know, while you wait, brain chip adjustment for people. We could remove the...
I think they have the best interest rate in mind. That's what they have in mind.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about interest and usury when we get back. And Davi will probably get accused of being anti-Semitic by people who don't know what that means. But you're actually a step Jewish person, aren't you?
I am step Jewish. Yeah, it's matriarchal, and my stepmother is Jewish. So
there you go. And my late daughter was Jewish. So, you know, I think we have to give our bona fides of we don't hate the Jews before we talk about the history of banking, because otherwise we'll get in trouble. What do you think, Lou? You stand with all of the people of the Abrahamic religions, except at least two thirds of them, don't you, Minarchist Lou?
Well, of course. And I ate matzo ball soup one time, so I'm good.
Cool. Did you say your loyalty pledge to America when you woke up today?
I say it in my sleep.
you have a collection of 78 records of Ronald Reagan that you put on and turn down and sleep to, don't you?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
And because I am so modern, I have put them on cassette tape.
That'd be kind of fun. You should put them on 8-track because they play in a big loop. You don't have to start them over.
So does cassette.
Well, if you have the right player. But I think that those players that can record are killing musicians' jobs and record companies and good Americans' jobs. So we need to tax cassette tapes. That was actually a thing that was proposed at one point. All right. We'll be back on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Don't Bogart that art meme I sent you, Michael. Go.
Yeah, I put it in the show notes for yesterday.
Now that the elections are over and liberty has slipped even further away, it's time to try yet another political organization. Campaign for a Longer Leash is a nonpartisan group of pups and dogs dedicated to fighting for longer leashes for all. We're not talking about no leashes, that would be catarchy. We just want the limited leash that the Hounding Fathers promised us. As Bone Barklin once said, a longer leash if you can keep it, ma'am. For more info, go to facebook.com/campaignforalongerleash.
So during the break, limited government Lou has proposed that it be mandated. No, I proposed this and he didn't like it because he thought I was undermining democracy. But I proposed that all politicians should be required by law to talk like Sarah Palin does all the time in this new video. So we're going to play it again. It's just that good. So here we go.
It must change. Things must change for this our government. Look at it. It isn't too big to fail. It's too big to succeed. It's too big to succeed so we can afford no retreads, or nothing will change with the same people, the same policies that got us into the status quo. Another Latin word, status quo. And it stands for, man, the middle class, everyday Americans are really getting taken for a ride. That's status quo. And GOP leaders, by the way, the man can only ride you when your back is bent. So strengthen it. Then the man can't ride you. American won't be taken for a ride because so much is at stake. And we can't afford politicians playing games like nothing more is at stake than, maybe just the next standing of theirs in the next election.
You know, it's funny when something like this happens. First of all, the title of this video is Sarah Palin Teleprompter Fail in Iowa Leads to Incoherent Babble. Democrats Rejoice. I'm not a Democrat, and I was kind of rejoicing at that. But I will also say Ronald Reagan didn't need no teleprompter. They don't make these politicians like they used to. Not that I'm a huge fan of Reagan, but he wouldn't have done that. And, you know, the other thing I was going to say is when people rejoice about things like this, they say things like, man, I'm going to make popcorn for that. I think Fiendphone's audio quality is so good, I think I can actually hear Davy Barker eating his popcorn. Is that what I'm hearing?
I'm not eating popcorn. I'm drinking coffee.
Who's eating popcorn?
Lou, are you eating popcorn?
Pistachios.
Lou.
There you go.
Lou. You're not being a good min status Lou if you're enjoying that enough to be eating snack foods while it's happening.
Were those pistachios built in America?
Are any pistachios built in America? I think they are, actually. But
you know, we should really be honest, playing this clip.
To be completely honest, I was going to eat pistachios whether you played the clip again or not. You know, this just shows how we're going to have a great 8 years of Sarah Palin limiting government, because, you know, she reminded me so much of that great limited government president, George W. Bush, when he said, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, we won't get fooled again.
Yeah. Hey, Lou, I got some bad news for you that's going to make you feel a little unpatriotic. Pistachio trees can be found in Iran, Syria, Lebanon, Turkey, Greece, China, Tunisia, Kyrgyzstan, Turkmenistan, India, Egypt, Sicily, and Afghanistan. Yeah, man. Oh, and in California. So, like...
So, all the commie countries.
All the commie countries. Yeah, man. They don't grow them in the real America. They don't grow them in Iowa. Yeah.
I'm looking at the wrapper here, and it doesn't say where they were grown. But, you know... Oh, wait. San Joaquin Valley.
Yep. There you go.
California stand.
So these are Americans.
They're barely. Have you ever been there? You know what? It's kind of funny. I noticed about the San Joaquin Valley, the Joaquin Phoenix Valley is, you know, like 15, 20 years ago when I used to drive from San Francisco to LA, when you drive through that region, that farming region there, your windshield would be absolutely splattered with bugs to like where you had to run the windshield wiper on a sunny day. But then they started using so much insecticides that you would never, ever, ever get a bug on your windshield driving through there.
Yeah, that sounds like Northern Michigan.
Yeah.
There's two seasons up there, swatting and shoveling.
So, Lou, tell us, speaking of California, what's going on in San Francisco that you're concerned with and or backing with your beliefs?
Well, I am concerned with it because San Francisco Bay area to consider banning backyard barbecuing. Ugh. And this comes to us from downtrend.com.
What's the reason?
Because global warming, right?
I was going to guess that it was vegetarians who feel that they're aggressed upon when they have to smell meat.
Secondhand meat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the article says the problem is the people of California's Bay Area, which includes San Francisco, Oakland, and San Jose, have too much darned freedom.
That's you, Lou.
Sure, they can't express their Second Amendment rights, are banned from using plastic bags, and are forbidden to own butterflies. What? But the liberals in charge still think the people's freedoms are running rampant. With that in mind, a ban on backyard barbecuing is being floated. According to the AP, the booming popularity of outdoor kitchens among homeowners in the San Francisco Bay Area has an increasing number of their neighbors coughing and hacking from the smoke, leading air quality officials to consider tightening rules on wood-burning pizza ovens and smokers.
I've actually purchased butterflies in San Francisco from the museum in Gold Gate Park. Those days are gone, my friend.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges.
This is Davy Barker from ShinyBadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at ShinyBadges.com, write WORMS in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
It's the Freedom Fiends. So, We decided not to talk extensively about usury, because if we do talk about the fact, I mean, just name the thing that we're going to talk about briefly. Because we get emails from lunatics.
Name it? Its name is Carl. No, what do you mean name the thing?
The quote about I don't even want to talk about the Jewish history of banking, because then lunatics will write us and give us crazy opinions. Go ahead and say what it is, though.
There's this this verse in the Torah, Deuteronomy 23:20, and it says, "You shall not cause your brother to take interest." And so there's been this sort of dispute whether that means that Jews categorically don't engage in interest, or that Jews can't charge each other interest but can charge non-Jews interest. And so in the medieval world, that sort of meant different approaches to banking than other religions.
I would posit the concept that if you're a good Christian, you shouldn't be able to run a bank then, because Christians believe the Old Testament, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I don't think any person, regardless of their faith, can ethically run a bank in this system.
Okay, so, and you wanted to talk about what interest means, and we're going to get into a whole discussion of economics. But first, let's clear our palate entirely and remove all thought. And the best way to do that is not meditation. It's by playing this 48-second clip of Miss Teen USA 2007 South Carolina. Answers a question. I think she was...
This is Sarah Palin as a young woman, right?
Sarah Palin as a young woman. All right, here we go.
Yeah. Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
That has 61 million views for some reason.
That has leadership written all over it. This girl should be running for office.
Yeah.
That girl's going to be president someday.
In America, even that girl could be president, or at least be a vice presidential candidate.
Yeah.
You know what? The interesting thing is sometimes when people are stumped, like... I just say, I don't know, man. I say, I don't know more than anybody who speaks regularly to the public. And I also say, I was wrong with no problem, probably more than anybody who speaks to the public. But it's kind of interesting when people get cornered and like don't have an answer. A lot of them do what she did, which is try to insert smart words around it, like such as, and therefore, and because of. There's a really...
And the Iraq.
Yeah. There's a really funny example of that in the movie...
It's a Latin word, you know.
In the movie Fight Club. In the movie Fight Club, where Jack, the unnamed hero, is going from city to city trying to find out, you know, if his friend, who's actually the other side of his brain, is building fight clubs without his knowledge. And he's going into he goes into this dry cleaner or something, and he says, you know, they don't show his question, but he's asking the same question to everybody. And the guy's answer is like, sir, I would not be able to give said answer at said junction if I were able to give such answer, sir. And he says, you're an idiot. He says, you're an idiot, and walks out. Yeah. Oh, man. So let's talk about economics now that we've completely cleared our brain. So, Davi, what is interest?
Interest is the time value of money. It's... Well, so here's the thing. What it is in this system is not what it is in sort of pure economic terms, right? So, because... it's fixed in this economy, right? We have a central bank that sets the interest rate.
Oh,
which is the amount.
Let me set back how we got into this conversation. Was we were waiting to go on the air. We were listening to the top of the hour news, and they were saying something about the Federal Reserve. Or who sets the interest rates? Is it the Federal Reserve?
I think the Federal Reserve does.
Yeah, they said the Federal Reserve are you know, resisting demands to raise the interest rate or lower the interest rate or something. And I was like, man, if you came from another planet, you'd just be like, wait, what? Economics in this world are like centrally planned. How does that work? Like, to me, it sounds like the man behind the curtain pulling the levers, you know, when really, like,
see,
interest should be set by the market and the demand. Yeah.
That's a great example because you can't even explain it without using an economic term. The Fed is refusing to respond to demand, right? Like, it's right there in the question. If you demand more interest from your loan, then you're not going to make loans unless you're getting your what is your demand, right? What is your interest in the loan?
And then there's the weird concept that it's generally a better economy when there is low inflation rather than deflation. I could never wrap my head around that one, but people who know more than me tell me that's sometimes true.
Just ask the Patriots fans.
I don't know what that means. What is that, a sports ball reference, Lou?
Yeah, one of those sporting teams, apparently they have this game that they use balls in.
Oh, and the Washington Native Americans, right?
They could be. But anyway, they deflated the balls or something like that. And everybody went on a you know, Ballgate. Goofy. Yeah, they went on Ballgate. And something else, Royal Rumble, I guess they scripted the wrong winner. And everybody freaked out over that. But nobody's has any concern about over, you know, like really important stuff.
I have no idea what you're talking about, man. It's kind of funny because there is a brand of talk radio. You know, I joke sometimes about like how narrow, you know, how on the internet you can have a very narrow, like, you know, the podcast for left-handed Lithuanian lesbian single mothers from Chicago. And you'd like actually have an audience because, you know, on the internet you can reach them, but on radio you have to be kind of broad general interest. And I've made jokes about how there should be a fly fishing and Maserati repair show on radio, and there never would be because, you know, you have to you're broadcasting instead of narrow casting. The internet is narrow casting. But there actually are a couple general interest shows that are kind of – there's actually one going on right now on our network, and it's a fine show, and I will say it's great because it's on our network. But it's a sassy lady who's kind of fun and talks about – politics from like a barely right of center view. Like, you know, if you're a Republican, you can go, she's a Republican. But if you're a Democrat, you're not going to be screaming at the radio. And she's also really into sports. So basically what she talks about is like the news of the day and comments on it and then talks in depth about sports. And she's a lady who knows a lot about sports and people are like, that's cool. And that's about as wide, you know, that's about as wide dual interest as you can be on talk radio. And she does a fine job with it. And I've actually like pitched our show to talk, you know, to radio stations. They're like, well, I need something in that slot, but I listen to your show and you're too weird. And I'm like, well, try America Tonight with Kate Delaney. I've actually recommended her to other radio shows. But to me, like if you go anywhere into sports, it's too far, like ungeneral interest for me. I don't know what you're talking about. So Lou, explain what you meant. I don't even know what sport you're talking about. I don't even know what season it is. Is it? It's not baseball. I know that. That's when it's
winter, isn't it?
It's basketball, right? Indoor.
I think it's football. Yeah, I'm not sure if it's football with the black boy spotted ball or the oblong one.
I think football's over because there were some stations that said, "Call me after football season and we'll consider you." And
it is football. I actually know what this story is about, and the reason is. Is because I got really excited when I saw the word inflation in mainstream media headlines. And then when I clicked on it,
it was about a ball.
It was about the inflate. There's apparently league regulations for how inflated a football has to be a fair game. And so this team is accused of intentionally deflating their ball for some, I don't know how that gives them an advantage or whatever, but so there's this whole scandal, who held the ball, who felt the ball, who tested the ball.
Bring in CSI. Yeah.
Who held the ball and
when did they hold it?
There's a chain of custody. So
if the government were not involved in sports ball, I would have no problem with it having extreme regulations like that because it's like it kind of should, you know, I mean, or somebody should. Somebody should have the sports ball league games where you know, you have to have these narrow criteria of acceptance. But the idea that like Congress called baseball players in front of them to, like, you know, reprimand them for using steroids. I really go along with that thing of,
nah, man, roid it up. I want to see like the pro wrestling version of baseball.
I've been to two baseball games in my life. They were at Candlestick Park in San Francisco before it became Three Com Park. I was recently sober, and it's exactly like that Simpsons where Homer goes to a baseball game sober and he says, I never realized how boring this game is, except I'd never been to a baseball game drunk. So it was like, man, this is boring. it's a pretty boring
game. I want to see performance surgeries like cybernetic arms and legs and things. Like, yeah, I want to nuts, man. Yeah, that would get me in the stands.
I think the rule should be something like, you know, as long as your body is still 40% man and not machine, you can still play.
Do you think 40%?
I
wonder how many of those old codgers in Congress are taking performance-enhancing substances.
Viagra, at least. I know Hitler was taking basic, you know, amphetamine shots every day that his doctor was telling him were vitamins. And, you know, they're giving these prescription amphetamines to all the kids now to, like, stupefy them down, the complacin. I don't know how that works. Like, I don't know how you give speed to somebody and slow them down, but apparently it works if it's before puberty's over. But, I'll bet there are congressmen on Ritalin. I wouldn't be surprised.
Now, going back to the story of the deflation, my basic knowledge of it is predicated upon seeing a meme of Paul Krugman with a surprised look on his face that says, "The Patriots did what to the balls?"
That's funny.
And going back to the original topic, you know, of price fixing and regulation and stuff like that, as the arch conservative Mitt Romney said in the last presidential race, you can't have a free market without regulation. You know, you can't have a free market without price fixing.
Says the guy
who can't have any pudding if you haven't eaten your meat.
says the man who is like government cartel, you know, owns funds of funds worth $500 million. Yeah.
You know, I want to put my emphasis on that, Lou. You use the word price fixing, and that's exactly what it is. When you fix that, the interest is a price. The interest rate is a price on a loan. It's a deal between two people, an exchange, a transaction, a sale of money, if you will. And so when you fix the interest rate, you're fixing prices, and it has all the same nasty economic consequences of fixing prices on bread or oil or anything. It causes shortages. It causes surpluses. And I mean, that's, you know, most people wouldn't call it price fixing, but it totally is.
Yeah.
But you can't have free market capitalism without socialist interventions.
Oh, Lou.
Duh.
Go back to voting. Go back to looking at your voter pamphlets. We'll be back.
Hey, don't just vote. Vote harder.
Vote harder and vote often. All right. We'll be back. Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
It's barbaric. Freedom Fiends.
Meow, meow, meow.
Barbaric talk radio. So,
meow.
So I received a message over the chip in the back of my head that all radio hosts have from our corporate masters saying that we sounded like we were making fun of Republicans because we had the Sarah Palin gaffe, and then we had the, I don't know, I don't even know what the politics of that Miss America were at all. But
well, she was very pro-South Africa and the Iraq.
But if I were a minarchist, that clip would certainly be a good example for me of why the voting age should be raised to 30. But no. So we've been instructed to find a really weird quote or audio clip from a Democrat. So we found Senator Byrd, who was the longest running U.S. senator. I think he's about 107 years old in this clip in the 50s, and he served for 90 years after that.
He beat Strom Thurmond, really?
No.
Or Strom Thurmond, a congressman?
I don't know, man. This guy's just old. But he, I don't even know what he's talking about in this. It's a minute and a half long, and it's got about 20 seconds of actual talking. His pauses are so long that it may set off the silence alarm, the 6 second silence alarm. But I'll just.
My thoughts.
Here we go.
And my humble prayers.
He's falling asleep.
How is Senator Kennedy?
Oh, this is now. This is about Senator Kennedy dying. I don't want to make fun of
that. The training of these poor creatures.
Here you go.
To turn themselves into fighting machines is simply barbaric.
Is this about dogfighting?
Barbaric.
Yes, I think so.
Or war.
Barbaric!
I don't know.
He kind of reminds
barbaric.
Me of Grandpa Simpson.
Yeah. I think
and that word resound from hill to hill and from mountain to mountain, from valley to valley, across this broad land. Barbaric. Barbaric.
Longest serving U.S. Senator.
Help.
From 59 to 2010.
Wow.
West Virginia.
West Virginia just didn't vote hard enough.
We could like read his whole bio between pauses in this thing.
It would be so cruel.
He was preceded by Strom Thurmond.
Barbaric!
What if his cadence is designed to hypnotize you into voting for him?
Barbaric!
He was a racist, man. I can't play some of his clips on radio. He liked the N-word.
He was barbaric.
Okay, that's it. He's just shuffling papers for less.
The training of these.
Okay.
Maybe, like, if you're filibustering, doesn't it make sense? Like, is there a regulation on the rate of speech you have to speak if you're filibustering?
No.
Because it seems like it would give you an advantage.
Yeah.
Is there a dead air alarm?
There's no dead air alarm in Congress.
There should be. Like, how pregnant can your pauses be in Congress?
Yeah, well, we'll make Fiendphone able to do that and then sell it to the federal government and say, ha, 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 you anarchists, and I'll buy up all the radio stations in America and just play Ben Stone all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, when's Fiendphone going to have a silent alarm?
It doesn't. It should, though. I think the silent alarm I really think the silent alarm with media is the market. You know, I couldn't watch more than a minute and a half of that guy, Bird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in a way, electing someone is kind of torture if they're obligated to sit there and listen to that. I mean,
hey, is Mad Bitcoin's Drew Phillips or somebody else?
No, that's Tom Hunt. Is his last name Hunt?
He just retweeted. Drew Phillips talks about Fiendphone on Ernie Hancock's show, which is, I went through the 3 hours of Ernie's show and, you know, picked out the 7 minutes that were about me. So, you know, it's when I listen to anybody's show. And
Tom's good people.
Yeah, I put it up on creamyradioaudio.com. So if you want to go hear Drew Phillips waking up before he's fully had his coffee. Like, I heard the second, it was a 1 hour interview, and the second half of it, he was just on. Like, man, I've never heard Drew be so on. And he's like, oh, check out the beginning of that interview. I hadn't had coffee yet. And he really does. He sounds like he was sleeping under the mixing board. Ernie woke him up and put a mic in his hand and said, we're on. But it's good. He's saying great things about Fiendphone. I like Drew Phillips. I'm a friend of Drew Phillips. And you, sir, are a friend of Drew Phillips. We'll be back for another hour of this stuff after this trip to the market. We're going to find more weird audio clips to play and for Lou to defend after this trip to the market. Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. I've been working with computer programmer Derek Slopey to create Fiendphone. I'm using Fiendphone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about Fiendphone.
Fiend Phone is free open source software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high quality remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try the Windows beta version of Fiend Phone right now at fiendphone.com. But we're also raising money to vastly improve Fiend Phone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to fiendphone.com and join the conversation, because if you don't, you'll set Liberty back 2,500 years.
That's fiendphone.com, FENPHONE.com. Foxtrot, Echo, November, phone.com.
Fiend Phone. I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Yeah. So this is the Freedom Fiends. Broadcasting from the Locus Ceruleus in the Alpha Centauri region. And I'm Mr. Michael Dean. I am here at Intergalactic Prairie Studios, a mile above sea level in the wild, woolly, windy depths of Wyoming. And we're going to talk about Wyoming and Colorado and the Mountain West a bit here today. But I want to introduce the wonderful host we have on here with us, Mr. Lou Sanderfien, who today is in drag, in character, as Limited Government Lou. How are you, LimGov Lou?
I am doing just fine, Michael. All we need to do is get back to the Constitution and everything will just be peachy keen.
Have you been contacted by the government and did you enjoy it?
I have received limited contact from the government, and that's exactly what I want. Not too much, not too little.
Lou talks less than anybody on The Fiends, and he's funnier. I wonder if there's a correlation. I wonder if I should learn from that. Okay, Davi Barker, what's up? Who are you?
Why should we care? My name's Davi Barker, and I am the proprietor of ShinyBadges.com, the author of SurvivorMax.com, and one of the co-founders, along with Drew Phillips, of Bitcoin Not Bombs. Yep. And you should care because... you don't have to care.
So, have either of you fellows ever been to Rifle, Colorado?
No, I don't think I've ever even been to Colorado.
Wow.
I have not, but I'm contemplating a pilgrimage there.
I have been through Rifle, Colorado. My wife and I drove through, coming and going to Wyoming both times. The time we came here and went to different towns and decided which town we wanted to live in, and then when we drove here to move here. Rifle, Colorado is interesting, and it's ironically named because it is one of three towns in Wyoming, in Colorado, the other two being giant cities where you'd expect this kind of tomfoolery, where it's illegal to open carry a weapon. It's illegal in Boulder, Denver, and the tiny dot on the map, dusty dot on the map, known as Rifle, Colorado. So there. But what do you say about there are people there who get government permission to carry their guns and in a commercial setting. What's that about?
Yeah, I saw this video a couple of days ago. There's a restaurant in Rifle, Colorado, where all the waitresses are open carrying their pistols. They're locked and loaded and ready to go. And interestingly enough, I believe it was the sheriff or the chief of police for the town was talking about how, you know, these pistol packing babes are delivering food and keeping everybody safe and everything else. But I thought it was pretty neat. The owner, apparently there was a assault out in the back alley or something like that, and somebody got killed. So she says, hey, rather than just being victims, rather than just being prey, why don't we use our Second Amendment rights to get
permission
ourselves?
To get permission to be able to defend ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, all the waitresses are required to, I believe, have a CPL and be trained on how to use a firearm. And they, you know, the pistol is their part of their uniform.
That's an interesting theme for a family theme restaurant. Now, there used to be a restaurant that closed down because it was un-PC. I think it actually got, you know, people said we shouldn't, you know, don't eat. This is bad. There used to be this restaurant outside of Barstow called, Pantyhose Junction, and their theme is a trucker restaurant, and their theme was that the waitresses were all like ex-showgirls from Vegas. So like they, you know, they were too old to be showgirls anymore, but they still all had really nice legs, and their uniform was like a tight t-shirt, pantyhose, and then like short pants over the pantyhose. Now if you combine those two restaurants and made like pantyhose open carry Annie Oakley restaurant where the waitresses are wearing pantyhose and sidearms, I think you'd have a hit on your hands, man.
That sounds like rape culture.
Really? I think it sounds like America to me. And I think that...
It can't be rape culture. They're open carrying.
There, that's it right there. I like it. I like it.
Yeah, but everything is rape culture.
Looking is rape culture. You know what? I don't even want to discuss this. You guys can say it, but it's like, I barely know this concept exists. And I barely know that, like, there's people
You're better off.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to know that half the world wants to kill me because I have white privilege and I don't even know what that is. And I've been poor most of my life. And, you know, the other half of the world wants to kill me because I appreciate pretty women. I've just recently become aware of this, and I think there are people who want to scream it in my face, and we're actually going to play an audio clip here of someone screaming things in their face that people don't want to hear. But I do want to segue from Rifle, Colorado to the most un-PC restaurant in the world. It's a great restaurant. I can't remember the name of it. I looked for it, can't find it no matter what I Google. There's a restaurant in a roadhouse in Cheyenne, Wyoming. I've eaten there twice. That makes like the best steaks in the world. I've open carried there too, and a lot of the like local cowboys and truckers kind of stared at me like, why don't you just put that thing away so we don't have to look at it? You know, it's like people who like probably carry guns but don't like someone who doesn't look like a cowboy open carrying a gun. But the steak is delicious, and the waitresses there are all wearing t-shirts that say PETA, people eating those tasty animals. And you can buy the t-shirts there. So we're going to play this clip of a woman from PETA called, and Dobby's going to set it up. It's called Emotional Activist Storms Into Restaurant and Tells Them They Are Eating Violence. Is there more to set up than that?
I don't know. I don't know that it's actually PETA, but she's definitely some kind of vegan foodie granola activist. But yeah, she walks into a steakhouse and feels the need to tell everyone in the restaurant what she thinks about what they're eating.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much all the setup you need. You need to know that she's not a customer. She just walked in.
You know, it's kind of funny that a lot of libertarians would hate this kind of activist, this activist, because they're like, people should be able to eat whatever they want.
Right out. Yeah, it's private property.
But those are the same kind of activists who love to do loud, in-your-face, public, upset people, tell them what you're thinking when they're not ready to hear it, activism. So I guess...
Well, here's the thing. In a free society, this wouldn't be necessary anymore. The only reason for loud, in-your-face demonstrations is because there's a political apparatus in place to yell at. I mean, like, that's why...
And
because
there's, and there's public property, you know. Or, like, restaurants are generally private property. It's kind of made public property by the fascism of the state telling them what they can do. So here we go.
You know, I would also be okay with a restaurant that actually like had a soapbox and invited people to do this as entertainment. That might be a successful business model.
You know, that would actually be a pretty popular coffee shop in San Francisco, like the open mic, the open mic soapbox coffee shop. You know, like everybody would get 3 minutes or 5 minutes if they signed up and bought some coffee and waited in line. That would be great.
Or get to turn on the soapbox while you're getting your coffee.
There you go. The longer your coffee takes, the more you get to talk. That would encourage them to give better service.
Exercising those First Amendments.
You should call it, the restaurant, the coffee shop should really be called the Free Speech Zone. All right, here. Explain what a free speech zone is, Lou. For those who don't know.
A free speech zone is when government violates the First Amendment of the Constitution, as they constantly do, and say that you can't speak here, but you can speak over in this little desolate area where nobody's going to find you unless they take a wrong turn. Yeah. They pen you up. They put you on a short leash and put you in the pen.
Where no one that you want to hear you will have any chance of hearing you. Yeah.
Basically.
All right, here we go. Oops. What is a minute? A minute 18?
A minute 18 would be good, yeah.
All right, I'll start a minute 13. Here we go.
How did this restaurant get Snow's eggs? Did this woman sell them to the restaurant?
I'm not even clear if Snow is her pet chicken or if she has children named Snow, a child named Snow, and she's making an analogy. Do you? Any idea?
No. So she says that she like went to a slaughterhouse or something and like adopted some animal, and that was her way of like rescuing it. But all of Snow's sisters are on the plates in this restaurant. And I think it's a chicken. I think Snow is a chicken.
Mm. Well, she should She should have adopted harder and got all the chickens.
Yeah. What's with, I mean, yeah, look at her and her, like, you know, hipster little tracksuit. You know how many chickens' lives could have been saved if she had, like, bought more?
I would. No, I think.
So funny to me. I think, her name is Snow, and she just wants to live.
I think that tracksuit was probably made by a human child in Malaysia. Good chance of it.
I hope
so. Yeah, and you know, think about all those defenseless cotton plants that gave up their seeds and their whatever cotton happened. Is cotton? I don't even know.
You know how many velours died to make that outfit? Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you hear what Minarchist Lou said? Limited Government Lou?
Does she wear silk? Because silk is violence against worms.
Isn't it worm vomit? Or is it worm poop?
I
forget.
I don't know what it is.
I wonder if there's anyone who's vegan who's that hardcore that they won't wear silk because, yeah. And, you know, really, the only alternatives pretty much for vegans would be, you know, plant-based materials, although that's violence against plants, you know, cotton, hemp.
Yeah.
And the other alternative is synthetics, which are made from oil, and oil is like dead, you know, sea creatures and microbes and algae from...
And occupied territories.
Yeah.
But you're also recycling your dinosaurs when you do that.
You know what really gets me? I mean, she hasn't advocated any law or anything, but I know people like this, so I'm going to speak generally about people I know personally. Because
you live in the San Francisco Bay Area, so you are forced to be around people like this. You can't leave the house.
I technically live in the San Francisco Bay Area, but my heart's on the internet. So
yeah, but you also live in Silicon Valley, which is like the most powerful engine of capitalism ever. Probably
they're really ready to see the violence in like the bacon, but they're not willing to see the violence in the laws that they want to pass to fix the violence to stop the bacon. Like that's what really gets me. They don't have the same problem with violence against human beings. So yeah, that's my problem with the PETA activists.
PETA activists are yummy.
Hey, you know, vegetarian werewolves prefer prefer vegan cooking.
Like I said, I dated some women like this. All right, enough said. It's second hour. Kids are asleep. All right, worms.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Freedom Fiends. Hey,
are you guys familiar with Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Barely.
There's a sequel to The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy called The Restaurant at the End of the Universe.
42.
And what they have accomplished in that, 42. I mean, it's sci-fi. Yeah, 42. The waiters of the restaurant at the end of the universe are themselves cattle, and they are eager to serve you.
Do they serve you from their own bodies or other cows?
They do.
That's what's so remarkable. That's parodied on Futurama, I think.
Yeah, I'm certain Douglas Adams had it first. But,
so we were talking. This came out of a discussion during the break. I forgot to record about. I was supposed to record those about this clip we watched and played the audio of this woman storming into a restaurant and saying, "You're eating my brethren," and then had a bunch of people come in behind her and she was pretending to cry. You know, Dobby says, you know, she's rehearsed this. You don't see the patrons of the restaurant, her audience. All you know, what is the one thing she says, Dobby?
She says right in the beginning, I see you laughing, but this is serious.
Yeah. And I was thinking,
and like, it's like, hey, lady, I ordered a salad. Maybe, whatever.
Maybe people thought it was a new kind of like dinner theater performance art and applauded. And she just edited it out at the end. I mean, think about different kinds of dinner theater and theme restaurants. I think that's where we should go with this. You got any ideas, guys?
For dinner theater?
How about one where Sinead O'Connor lookalikes rip a picture of, you know, like whoever you don't like over and over and over during your dinner? Because I saw that live on TV when she ripped up the picture of the Pope, and I had no idea what it was about. I mean, it was apparently about, you know, Kitty Toucher Priest or something. But I also remember hearing the F-bomb on Saturday Night Live when I was like, oh, 17 or 18 or something. It was about JR. It was the Who Shot
Scar You?
No, I was trying to build a synthesizer. I've always been a multitasker like Davy Barker, and I looked up from my soldering and was like, did they just say that on TV? You know, somebody said, yeah, who shot JR? I want to know who the F shot him, but they said the actual word. And it was like on broadcast TV. This is back when there were three stations, man, and it came over the air. That's how old I am.
Wow. I really don't want to be entertained over dinner.
Yeah, I was probably eating a sandwich. So Lou, tell us, Lou, give us the report.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, there is a restaurant outside of Chicago. I don't know if it's still there. I've never eaten there, but I've heard about it.
Is it called the Stockyards? Sorry.
No, it's called Ed DeBevick's, I think it is. And their motto is good food, fresh service. And apparently you go in there and the wait staff just gets smart with you and insults you and calls you a bunch of names. Yeah. You know. Let's say somebody rather on the chunky side goes in there and the waiter says, would you like a menu or an estimate?
That should be the name of that restaurant. Really should be Just Like Home. Not that my home was like that, but that would be the right name. A better name for that restaurant is Just Like Home. I've actually been to a restaurant when I was on tour with my rock musical group Bomb. It was in the American South somewhere. And we went into a like pancake house and I ordered a short stack, and the sassy plump waitress kept calling me short stack. And my band thought that was really funny. And that name stuck. That name stuck for about 10 more dates on that tour. Like, yeah, short stack, get up there and plug in your bass. Give us a sound check.
So kind of like when Hobbs describes you, when he says life is short, nasty, and brutish.
Yeah, I would say life's nasty, short, brutish, and cruel, and so am I.
Yeah, I guess that works out.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, we used to frequent a Denny's where there was a waitress whose name was Rosie, although that wasn't a real name. That was just the name she wanted. And when the management changed, they forced her to wear a name tag that had her legal name on it.
That's slavery. You know, like really, that's like one of the, you know, the definition of property is, you know, if you own it, you can actually destroy it, which is why no one owns anything in America because, or most countries, any countries, because the government can always take it or destroy it. And I would say a definition of slave is, you know, one of the definitions is even if they're paying you, but you don't get to have your real name or your fake name you want. You know, a slave master chooses your name for you. So that sounds like
you get your government name.
Government name. I always like that about I think that should make a comeback with voluntarists is in the 60s at the beginning of the Black Power movement, there was a big move to, you know, like everyone is changing their last name to X or Africa. And they would refer to their given last name as their government name. Like, you know, that's the name you only use on, you know, government forms when you're arrested or applying for welfare or, you know, incarcerated or, you know, have to fill out something for the government. So, yeah, man, I think voluntarists should start. The ones that change their last name to Freeman or Fiendman, that's the new one, the Fiend fans, all the Fiendman last names out there. I think you should call your real last name your government name.
I like my real last name.
I like mine, too, because Dean means one who rules over 10. And, you know, every anarchist is really a tyrant.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hey, this is Squisgar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing. Buttons! Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks, you can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Being such a tyrant and become Diane Feinstein.
Diane Feinstein.
There you go.
Okay, I'm recording now. This is Libertarian NSA. You are being recorded.
I like Barker because it's the ringleader of a circus.
Yeah, I like it because it's one of the guys in ministry. Oh, cool. Okay. That's Bob cool. Barker. We talked
That's
about Bob
Clive Barker.
Barker. Clive Barker. Yeah, the drummer in ministry, the old drummer in ministry. So what do we got for the next segment, guys? We need something really popping here. I feel like we hit a plateau in the segment before last. I should probably not record that. They say you should never admit if you're not stellar on radio. But we're not on radio. This is the internet.
This is the warts of the show. Left.
I don't think we should play
activists or the.
I don't think we should play clips that aren't mainstream media because they might have cussing if we haven't gone through all of them.
Yeah,
we could talk about the deputy public defender being arrested.
Alex Jones does. Alex Jones will play anything on the air, but he has board like the best board ops, and they're sitting there with their finger over the cuss dump, and he'll just play something in his feed. And I've actually heard him say like, "Dump that," and then like you don't hear what goes on the air.
Cool.
Yep. But the nighttime board ops are board opping more than one show at a time, so we can't trust 100% that they're going to be on it. Although
it'd be kind of fun to rewrite. Do you know the song "Down by the Boardwalk"?
Yeah, of course.
About Santa Cruz, it'd be fun to do one about a board op.
Board. I've said that before. Like when we're trying to get a board op on, I'm like, "Do we have a board op? Board op?"
Yeah, it sounded. That was what gave me the idea. You said something to the tune. I think it was like just a couple of bars.
Get a
or
board
a notes from that tune.
Yeah. I think that's about the Jersey
Under
Boardwalk.
Under the board op, down by the sea.
Isn't that about the Jersey Boardwalk?
I don't know.
I don't know. They ran commercials for the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk with that song for years and years and years.
Of course they did.
Okay, I have the article on the public defender being arrested.
Sounds good. Do you want to? Is it long? Do you want to split it up with Davi, or do you want? Is it short enough to read in one chunk?
It's short.
Mew. Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends ist freundlich und attractive. Freundlich und attractive. And speaking of freundlich und attractive, you know, my band Bomb was stationed in Schweinfurt. I've talked about that with Lou before. And the municipal motto of Schweinfurt, Germany is Schweinfurt, freundlich und attractive, which actually means Schweinfurt, friendly and attractive. And my band Bomb actually like had t-shirts made up that said Bomb, freundlich und attractive. I think the Freedom Fiends should pick up that one. There's a thing in the AA book about alcohol being cunning, baffling, and powerful. And the band I was in when I first got in recovery, Slish, we made t-shirts that said Slish, cunning, baffling, and powerful. I think that should be a Freedom Fiends one too. Freedom Fiends, cunning, baffling, and powerful. So I'm done recycling slightly used secondhand mottos. So go ahead, Lou, what you got?
Well, speaking of baffling and powerful, but not cunning at all, not in any way, shape, or form. Our next tyranny today comes from sfgate.com. It appears that a deputy public defender was handcuffed and arrested at the Hall of Justice. And let me interject for a second. As Oliver Wendell Holmes said, this isn't a court of justice, son. It's a court of law. But anyway, she objected to city police officers questioning her client outside of a courtroom. Apparently, her client is a person of interest in a robbery or burglary or something like that. Anyway, she didn't want them to take his picture and ask him questions and everything else. And the goon says, look, if you don't let us do our job, we're going to have to arrest you for resisting arrest.
Yeah, it's so weird now that they can arrest people for non-crimes that, you know, like they don't have anything on you, but they try to get you for... You know, a really common one I'm seeing that's a lot more serious than that is when people get arrested for something... And they can't really arrest them on anything, so they arrest them for conspiracy or for, you know, lying to the police during their interrogation when they actually can't get them on a crime. So those it's the add-on features.
Yeah, so anyway, okay, it's a misdemeanor theft charge, but anyway, I guess she was arrested for resisting arrest and obstruction. Here's some very interesting comments, and I believe this comes from the public defender's office. This is not Guantanamo Bay. People have an absolute right to have their attorneys present during questioning. The public defender has requested a copy of the police report in the incident and has demanded both an explanation and apology. And the same person from the Public Defender's Office, and I love this, a uniform does not give you a license to bully innocent people into submission. If this happens,
that's what it's for.
If this happens to a public defender in front of her client, I can only imagine what is happening on our streets. Wow, who would have thought that a San Francisco commie would be quoting Cop Block?
Is that quoting or just paraphrasing Cop Block?
Well, it's paraphrasing. You know, the Cop Block says the shiny badges don't grant extra rights, and the commies are saying a uniform does not give you a license to bully innocent people into submission.
Yeah, and you know what the police's response to that is? Is those uppity lawyers and their constitution? It really is. That's kind of how they feel when, you know, people invoke the law on the enforcers of the law.
Well, they could have another response. They could just say, just doing my job, or, yeah, but I bet you'll be the first one to call if somebody's trying to break into your house because we violate your Second Amendment rights and don't let you have a firearm to protect yourself.
Davi?
I don't understand. That is what the uniform is for. It is a license to bully people. Like, that's... I mean, this is what privilege really means. Like, it is that they are a special legal category that's allowed to do things that other people are not allowed to do. I mean, that's what a government is.
Yeah.
So I'm not
a
really
limited government.
Oh, come on, Lou.
Even a limited government. Like that's the thing. Like, people are getting together and they're forming their limited government. The powers that they're enumerating it are powers they don't have themselves, right? So they're creating this thing that they're giving permission to do something they already don't have permission to do.
You're just arguing with technicalities. Look, it's not theft and violence if it's in the Constitution.
Oh,
because
okay.
we, even though we weren't born yet and even though we weren't asked, we created the Constitution. We created the government. We are the government. And if you're tired of getting robbed, then quit robbing yourself.
Okay.
Quit beating yourself up. Quit regulating yourself to death.
Is not permission to bully yourself? Is that what you're saying?
Well, is Lou going to be in character until the end of the show, or do you want to come out of it and give a bold explanation of the campaign for a longer leash? Although that's kind of in that character too, so I don't know.
You know what? I'm breaking character.
Go ahead, man.
I can't do this anymore.
It's good to have you back.
It feels good to be myself again. Yeah, no, I don't support limited theft and violence. No, I'm a zero theft and violence type of guy. And the idea that the uniform grants special rights and privileges and allows people to bully each other, that's just absolute nonsense. It comes from a 15,000 hour indoctrination program in the state indoctrination camps.
You mean school?
It's nonsense.
Public school.
If you acted like a cop, you'd be in jail. Simple.
That should be a bumper sticker. Although that bumper sticker would get you pulled over and messed with by cops. You know, I've been seeing this thing more and more lately where if anybody says anything critical, not just about the troops, but about the existence of, you know, a powerful, dominant, world-crushing military that the U.S. has grown up, which actually is counterintuitive to a lot of what the Founding Fathers wanted, if you really want to call yourself a true American, and you believe that that document is the law. It should be the law because it is the law. I've been seeing this thing more and more. If people say anything negative about the military, someone who's either in the military, ex-military, or family of military member, like, jumps on the thread and threatens violence. Like, yeah, you're going to wish a cop would show up next time a military guy hears you say like that in person. I'm going to beat you to a bloody pulp. And I'm thinking, like, aren't these the same people who always say, like, yeah, man, you get to say what you want to say because I'm over there fighting for your freedom of free speech, which doesn't make any sense either. But it's like, if they're fighting for our free speech, why do they want to beat us up? Why do some of them want to beat us up when we exercise it? I don't get that.
Well, as a veteran, let me address this. I defended your right to say whatever you want. I defended your free speech. So shut the Feinstein up, okay? Because you can only say what I say.
You defended my free speech by being a cook.
And a couple other things, but
I know. You were secretly killing people for the CIA, but we can't talk about that.
No, it wasn't for the CIA. as a veteran, and I was in during the Cold War era, you know, I was supposedly fighting back state socialism and the police state of East Germany so that it would not come to America. Well, guess what? It came to America. And when people say that the soldiers defend our freedoms, as a veteran, I will be the first to say, no, we do not.
Lou.
We don't serve the country. We serve the government.
Lou.
Yes.
Thank you for your food service. You know, you should have cooked harder, and we would have kept all our freedoms.
Oh, I did cook harder.
You're a great cook, and I'm not making fun of the fact that you were a cook in the army rather than murdering babies. I would rather have you be a cook in the army.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I like that, though. Thank you for your food service. I think that's going to That's going to have wing. That's going to have the almost the same legs as me being short stack.
Yeah. Thank you for your service. Should be extended to food staff.
Well, yes, I say it
because it is server. They're called servers.
I
say it.
I actually, I mean, you guys notice that I often write thank you for your service in emails back to you. And what you may not know is that I have, Davi probably knows this, I have a two key combination that if I type a bracket and an S, it types that automatically. And I sign a lot of emails that way these days. And it's not cheesy that I'm automating it. It's that I want to say it so often I have to automate it or my arms will fall off, because I really want that to spread to non-military people. And I'm not stealing it from the troops. I'm adding it to people who, you know, do useful things for the world that don't involve murdering babies. Or not even, that's crass, you know, that don't involve, you know, being on the government payroll to... Here's one of my biggest problems with the military, other than it exists, is, and I'm not a pacifist, but one of my biggest problems with it is the concept that the president is the grand poobah and grand imperial wizard of all of the armies, you know, all the Army, Navy, even the Coast Guard. Like literally, when you join the Army, you are, or any branch of the military, in any country, you are agreeing to go kill whoever they tell you to kill. And like, you end up with like people like Barack Obama as your boss's 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 boss. And he is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. What is the disconnect? How do people in the military who, you know, believe in small government, American values, the Constitution, the flags, the troops, the flag troops, how do they wrap their head around the fact that Obama is the ultimate decider of who they have to go kill?
Well, let's take it a step further. When somebody joins the Army, they swear an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States, which, by the way, does not provide for a standing army.
Yeah, there you go. And the whole thing about the increasing...
Well, you can drone from a sitting position now.
Yeah, but the increasing temper on the interwebs and in person of people, of military lovers defending any critique of the military with like threats of violence, you know, that is not... like being a good American, that is being a compliant robot who's ready to have your switch flipped. You know, that is the person, like, that is the person that's totally going to back taking away the guns from the people that, you know, when they decide that your magazine can only hold two rounds and each bullet has to have a serial number on it, and there's people who don't turn them in and comply with that. Those are the same people they're going to send. You know, they're not going to send your local police to take your guns. They're going to send the military, man, because they're used to dealing with it.
And when the military shows up or the police to take the firearms of all those patriots and flag wavers, those domesticated house pets will thank those police and military for their service.
Probably not. They will probably realize they've been duped, you know, basically on their way to the ovens, on their way to the cattle cars, on their way to the concentration camps in the form of American federal prisons. And, you know, I'm not even going to say FEMA camps. I'm just going to say prisons. You know, that's what it is.
You know, it isn't just Obama either. I mean, it is everyone in perpetuity, right? They're signing a murderous contract that they can't even read. Like, because they don't know who gets elected next or what the cause after this, after we tire of this whole terrorism thing. We don't know what the next bugbear is going to be. So, like, they're just agreeing in perpetuity to just murder whoever.
And,
right?
they're praising people like George Washington, who actually killed soldiers that fought under his command in the Revolutionary War 12 years later because they wouldn't pay a tax that was higher than the tax they'd fought the war over.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Freedom Fiends. Tasing you with liberty. Yep. So we were talking during the break about How cool is it? We're talking about buying used equipment, and what did you say about buying used equipment, Lou?
Oh, it's somebody else's problem. It's something that they didn't want anymore.
Yeah. And then I said, but you know, sometimes you can find used stuff that's not messed up, you know, electronic gear, audio gear on eBay, et cetera. You know, because somebody like, I generally buy stuff new because I don't want to have to buy it twice. And generally you have to buy stuff again when you buy used stuff. But, and I would never buy a used microphone anymore because now that I quit smoking, I can tell if I'm using a used mic because I can smell the other person's breath in it once I start talking into it and it warms up a bit, even with a windscreen on it. But, you know, sometimes you can find stuff that was sold not because it was bad, but because, you know, like somebody's wife said, quit podcasting and playing rock and roll. I don't like it. And then I was talking about how I really love the fact that, the Freedom Fiends, like, there's no spouse problems. Like, you know, nobody has a spouse who's like, I don't want you podcasting. And I've had that problem a lot with rock and roll bands. And what did you say about that, Davi?
It's because we're all adults.
Yep.
Like the bands where people had their sort of like the girlfriend hanging around trying to get them out of the band was when they were in their 20s and everyone was sort of narcissistic and needed attention. Now we're all sort of like we're mellowed out. We live in our lives. We, you know, we're grownups now.
Yeah. And, you know, that was a thing with rock and roll. Like there's always, yeah, I wouldn't just say girlfriend. It was mostly, I was in bands mostly with guys. I'm sure this is true with guys too, with girls in bands do have this problem with boyfriends. There's always the problem with, you know, with young folks in rock and roll, there's always one person out of four or five who has a significant other who's really jealous of the band, of the amount of time the person's spending with it, the fact that they go out of town, the fact that, you know, people of the opposite sex of the person in the band or of the you know, people that want to get with them because they're in a cool band. And that certainly never happens with radio. Nobody ever got any from radio, I think. But also, you don't have to leave town to do it. You know, you're in they know where you are. Not that like, you know, they're keeping a leash on us or anything. I can do whatever I want, go wherever I want.
A longer leash?
Yeah, no longer leash. But, you know, I like being home, you know, when my wife's home, even if we're in different rooms, like I like knowing she's there and it's not a thing of like, you stay close to me. I want to keep an eye on you. It's more like, you know, like she'll go out of town for a week to go see her kids or whatever. I have no problem with it, but I'm glad because we have a relationship where I'm not expected to go on family trips that I don't want to go on. That's the cool thing about it. But I love, you know, her being in the same room or a different room, her reading, me doing a show, whatever. Like, you know, we're both, just knowing that they're there is really nice. And then we have a lot of interactions and talks and stuff. But I wasn't like that when I was younger. I was like, I would have been like, what are you reading? What are you doing in the other room? Where are you going? Who are you talking to on the phone? And now it's like, you know, when you get a little older, you have more trust and you pick your partners better. And yeah, it's a good thing, man. I just love that there is no spouse trauma with doing this radio show with 12 hosts. Worms.
Well, something else. I don't think any of us have statist mates.
Yeah, I don't.
So that probably helps out quite a bit.
Worms. So did you have a news item there, Lou, for the last 20 seconds or minute, 2 minutes?
Tyranny, more tyranny, many tyranny.
I want to poke the Lou character for the rest of the show. So Lou, why is it important that we vote?
Well, it's how your voice can be heard, because I, yeah, sure.
No, talk radio. Talk radio.
No way. Fiend phone is how Fiend my phone, voice can
exactly,
be heard.
Exactly, man. I was going to say talk radio, but I think Fiend phone is the future, and radio may be on its, it's not dying, but it's, you know, people, young people coming up to, a lot of people I know, like under 30, like have never listened to talk radio. You know, they wouldn't do that, but they'll listen to podcasts and audiobooks all day, every day. So yeah, Fiend phone, man.
Well, let me complete my answer.
I vote with my Fiend phone. Go ahead.
When you have a choice between Romney and Obama, it's very important that you let your voice be heard on which ruler you're going to have. And voting is a way of doing that. You can say, I would rather be ruled by this progressive authoritarian socialist than the other progressive authoritarian socialist.
Yeah.
So don't just vote. Vote harder. And when you call your reps and they ignore you, call harder. And when you email them and they ignore you, email harder.
They won't answer their Fiend phone, though. Because they'll hear you too clearly.
No Diane Feensteins.
They'll hear you too clearly. Been a good show, guys. Thanks for the good time.
Worms.
And Lou, thank you for your food service.
It was a pleasure being here.
Okay, here's the Fight Club Fiend phone homework assignment. Go tell your wait staff thank you for your service.